Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Talk about missing the point. Jesus casts out a demon. His critics argue about how he cast it out. Never mind that a man was freed from oppression. Then Jesus spoke the parable of a strong man to explain how to fight battles in the realm of the Spirit. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today, we turn again to Luke chapter 11 for more on getting spiritual warfare right.
Jesus is saying, now, you folks have Jewish exorcists, and they did. Since the time of Solomon, there were exorcists who had certain incantations that they used for demonized people. And perhaps they worked, perhaps they didn't work, but at least the claim was that they worked. And Jesus said, if I'm casting out demons and I'm actually doing it in the name of Beelzebul, in whose name and by whose authority do your children, your relatives, your exorcists cast them out? They must be doing it in the name of Beelzebul as well. They will be your judges. But then I love this. Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, don't you love it? I mean, not even the hand of God, just the finger of God causes demons to leave. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Now, all that to set up the parable that Jesus told in this context. Jesus, in order to illustrate and to make his point, and this is a series on parables, so you can understand that we're still in that series. You'll notice that Jesus says now, and I'm picking it up in about verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he has trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Jesus is talking about two men, and he's talking about the strong man, the kingdom of darkness guarding his palace. And that's a picture of Satan. He has awesome power. And he wants to keep all those who are walking in darkness in obedience to him. He wants to make sure that they are kept within his kingdom. And he doesn't want any of them to get away. And by the way, there's an interesting principle here. That when we go into Satan's kingdom, it is always difficult to come out of it. Because he wants to hang on to those who are his own. And he is the one now who has armor. And he is the one who has various names in the Bible, Satan does. And sometimes I use the word Satan almost interchangeably with his demons because we're talking about the kingdom of darkness. And he is called, for example, in the Bible, the adversary because he's always standing against God. Wherever God shows up to do a work, Satan shows up. If a family is brought to reconciliation through repentance, Satan shows up to try to undo God's work. Everything that God is for, Satan is against. He is the adversary. Now, he's also called the devil, which means slanderer. And we see the slander right here in the text where Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the prince of demons. And slander is the devil's work. If you say today, Pastor Lutzer, I'd like to do the devil's work. Show me where he works and I'll be there to help him. What you do is you gossip, you make false accusations, you speak against other people in whispers because that is his work. He is the accuser, the slanderer. and he will make false accusations. He will take true accusations and exaggerate them, because remember, that is his work. In Timothy, the Apostle Paul was talking about the wives of deacons. And by the way, what he said about them, of course, applies to the deacons too. But he said, let them not be slanderers. In the Greek text, it is literally, let them not be devils. Because the minute you become a slanderer, you are doing Satan's bidding. Slander is his most important weapon, and so he is called the devil. He's also called the lion, seeking whom he may devour. Young person, the devil wants you. He wants you as badly as pornographers want you to be an addict. And what he's doing is he's looking for people to sign up in his whole host of addictions, because he wants to hold you bound. He wants you to keep in the kingdom of darkness and just manage it one way or another, perhaps through alcoholism or through drugs. In some way, he wants you to manage your darkness. He does not want you to come to light. He is seeking whom he may devour. He is out to destroy you and has a terrible plan for your life. So he is spoken of as a lion. He's also spoken of as a serpent. The serpent is, of course, that deceiving, evil being, even as he was there in the Garden of Eden. So what we need to understand is that there is a strong man who holds people bound, and they can't get away on their own. Oh, within his palace, within his household, and Jesus implies that he's got both a household and a palace in the text, both a household and a kingdom. And what you can do is you can move from one place to another in his kingdom. You can do all that you possibly can to manage the consequences of your darkness. And it'll be so important for you to call darkness light, because that's part of the deception. And so many people walking in darkness think that this is a well-litten path with all of its blessings and all of its wonderful consequences, and he'll try to keep you there. And the problem is, you can only manage it. You cannot get away from the darkness and from being held captive. So Jesus said that there's a strong man, and you and I know how strong he is. Very strong. He is Satan. But now, thankfully, in this parable, there's another man. And you'll notice it says that Jesus said that there is another man when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. Ah, thank God for verse 22. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. The only way you can have freedom from this strong man is to have a stronger man come and overtake him and overtake his armor and weaken him so that you can walk away free. You need outside help, though. You can't get from darkness to light on your own. You need somebody stronger than the kingdom of darkness. And I'm here to announce to you something that I hope you already know. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says this, that when Jesus died, he disarmed all principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus did that. He spoiled the devil. He took away his armor. And how did Jesus do that? He did it by invading that kingdom of darkness and saying, I'm invading the kingdom in a rescue mission. And I'm going to turn these captives who are in condemnation, and I am going to turn them from condemnation to something much more blessed, namely restoration. So that instead of being condemned, they will be restored, reconciled to God. And then instead of being accused, I am going to vindicate them. And who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again and is even now on the throne of God, who also makes intercession for us. And I will vindicate them, and I will no longer charge them with their sin, no longer condemnation, but restoration, no longer accusation, but vindication, no longer slavery, but service, and no longer hell, but heaven. And so Jesus emerges victorious. I like to visualize it this way. We're in the hands of the strong man, but a stronger man by the name of Jesus says to that strong man, "Let go of them." And he has to drop them immediately because he's been confronted by a man stronger than he. Somebody who can bring deliverance by the finger of God, and Satan has to submit to that authority, to that power, and to that purity and glory, and you and I walk free. Now, Jesus talked about the strong man. Then he speaks about a stronger man, namely himself, who is able to bind him and take away his armor. The armor of condemnation, the armor of accusation, and Jesus disarms him. But then Jesus tells a story which perhaps is another parable. I think it's connected with this one. Jesus says in verse 24, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finding none. It says, 'I will return to my house from which I came,' and when it comes, it will find the house swept, put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." What an awful, terrible story.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're going to have to tune in next time to get an explanation of what I just read from the Scriptures. But the bottom line, the takeaway for today, of course, is the authority of Jesus over Satan. Yes, Satan is strong, but thankfully we have believed in someone who is stronger. I want you to walk in that victory today. Thank the Lord for his authority and his power. And thank you also to the many of you who support us with your love and your prayers and your gifts. We deeply appreciate it. Together, we're making a difference. So I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win, and invite a friend to listen along with you.
Erwin Lutzer is continuing Getting Spiritual Warfare Right, another in a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Next time, more on how we can't go it alone, and why we can only defeat Satan in the name and power of Jesus. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.